Russell reports.
If you live in the UK and have a little time on your hands and have no particular respect for the privacy of others, then this job might be right up your alley. A British company, Internet Eyes, is hiring people to monitor surveillance cameras and report suspicious activity. Not everybody is thrilled by the prospect of expanding Britain's already oppressive surveillance state. It's astonishing to think that innocent people during their shopping could be spied on by an army of busybodies with an internet connection. These are the words of Daniel Hamilton speaking for the British civil rights organization Big Brother Watch. Hamilton went on to say, "Closed-circuit television should be used sparingly to help solve real crimes, not to encourage this type of tawdry voyeurism." John Russell, IRN, USA News.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
American patriots across this nation now recognize that our own rights and freedoms are being jeopardized. Yet what we are now reaping began at least 40-plus years ago when all future generations were denied even the right to live. With Amendment 62, Colorado 2010 Personhood Amendment, we shall protect and defend the rights of all people. If we are not willing to extend these rights that we hold dear to all people, and not only all people today, but all people tomorrow, then we shall have no rights at all. For then we shall have already relinquished our own rights. For if all men are not created equal with certain inalienable rights, then these are no longer rights at all, but privileges bestowed upon us by the courts. And if a human being is not a person, then neither are we. Personhood is defining a person as a human being once and for all. Vote yes on Amendment 62.
This message has been paid for by Better Country Services, preparing for a better country.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, this morning I got an email from one of our listeners regularly, and this is what he said. Dear Dr. Stan, I hope that this comment is not out of place, but there are times when a few weeks' exposure to Radio Liberty can lead to an overwhelming sense of darkness. The trouble with exposing the kingdom of Satan is that apart from a few trips into the evolutionary debate, which is quite fun, there's a lot of unpleasantness here unearthed. Believe me, there are times when the issues you deal with leave me very low. Others cannot even handle your show at all. A recurring thought, and a few remarks from a friend of mine, is that there is very little time spent on showing how to deal with a solution. Would it be appropriate to ask some of your regular guests how they deal with these issues in their lives? Would it be appropriate for you to add a few words of testimony from time to time? Simply saying the need to repent, and which I'm sure it is true, doesn't necessarily help the man who's out of work and is being told by Dr. Monteith that the economy will never return to normality. This is certainly not a criticism, and I appreciate that your program is not a standard religious show. However, when things really do seem to be getting to be a bit dark, especially in the USA, the question would sometimes be positive, pastor, personal, add something to the balance. To put this another way, I for one would be interested in how much time you spend in prayer and those on the Radio Liberty team spend in prayer, and similarly, with such Christian heavyweights on your regular program, to ask them what they are doing. Well, I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that dealing with the subject we deal with is depressing. It can be. But, of course, how should we handle it? Should we just ignore what's going on? Who else is talking about the satanic force behind globalism? And that is the force which runs our country today. And there is a vast conspiracy. It's a conspiracy against God. And you can't sugarcoat it. And if this country does not repent, then we will lose a nation. And I simply wrote back that back in 1730, why we faced a very similar problem 280 years ago. And there was a man named Jonathan Edwards, and he went forward and he gave a sermon called A Sinner in the Hands of an Angry God. And he didn't sugarcoat what was going, but of course that message touched the lives of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Americans, and men repented, and America turned back to God, and this country was saved. And if it hadn't been for Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley and a few other ministers out telling the truth about how decadent America had been, why, of course, there never would have been an American Revolution, and we would not have enjoyed the freedom we have. So for those of you who feel that we talk about dark subjects, well, we do talk about dark subjects, but we also talk about the solution and understanding there is a conspiracy against God, that basically there is a conspiracy to convince us that the Bible isn't true. That's what they teach in our schools all across America, and if you're sending your children to public schools, then you're doing them a disservice because you are destroying their faith, which is all that's going to maintain them during the difficult times that lie ahead. Well, with us this morning, Pastor Billy Crone from the Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and we're going to be talking about the other side of the issue, the fact that we've been lied to about evolution, that God did create a man and did create the universe and did create animals. And, of course, this is part of his presentation on fearful creation, or, pardon me, fearful creatures. So without further ado, Pastor Crone, you pick up the story and explain to the people how they've been lied to by the media, by our textbooks, by our educational system, by the great tax-exempt foundations, and how, basically, God did create the heavens and the earth.
Well, you know, Dr. Monteith, if you don't mind, just to dovetail off of what you just read from that email from that listener, frankly, they're absolutely right, and that's what we try to focus on. Why is our world so hopeless? Why are people doing this? Why is the New World Order marching forward like this? And it's because of the lie, believe it or not, evolution. That's what we've been talking about interview after interview. That's the common thread. That's the belief system, the lie, evolution, that these people need to pull off this issue. And not only that, I mean, listen to the message that's being drilled into our brains, whether it's in kindergarten or preschool, all the way even as adults on television, the lie of evolution. What is it basically brainwashing people with? Hey, guess what? Here's the great news. There is no God. There is no hope, and there is no meaning to life. When you die, you go back down to the ground, and you become worm bait. No wonder our world is so hopeless, because there's no answers, it seems is a key word there, beyond ourselves. Okay, but that's a lie. But the problem is, the answers are there the whole time, right under our nose. It's right there in the Bible, which really did come from God. But the problem is, evolution is out there preaching a lie loud enough, long enough, and often enough until people believe it. And then when you try to do to the contrary, they won't give you equal air time. They won't even show you, period. And so that's what we're trying to do, to get out a message of hope. The gentleman is absolutely correct who wrote that email. It is hopeless if there is no God. But here's the good news. There is a God, folks. And you know what? There's something better than living for this world. It's the world to come. And that we can know for sure, folks, through Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, where we're going to go when our time comes. And the two things, Dr. Monteith, that drives me is, too, I fully believe that we are in what the Bible prophesied nearly 2,000 years ago. It was called the age of the apostasy, that the church, even the church, who has the good news, who has the message of eternal hope, would start to slide. I really believe we're in those days. But here's the thing. I don't know. Maybe, you talked about revivals, Dr. Monteith, maybe God, if you will, has up his sleeve one final revival before the hammer comes down, but before the 7-year tribulation. I don't know. Okay, but wouldn't that be great? And all I know is if we sit around and do nothing, nothing's going to happen. And so we need to get active and help equip people. Maybe God's going to use us to bring in a one last final revival before the seven-year tribulation. But even if he doesn't, folks, believe it or not, there's something greater to live for. It's not this world. And that's why the Bible says get your mind off of things here below and get them on above. Okay? And this explains this evolution. It undermines everything I just said. That's a message of hope. That's good news. It's awesome. But it comes in and says, no, that's just a lie. There is no reason. There is no... And people get apathetic. That's what we're in... We're in the way we are today. But not only that, it also explains, Dr. Monty, why people are behaving the way they are. I mean, think about it. I mean, it was like about 30 years ago, the biggest problem in schools that the kids got disciplined for was they didn't throw paper in the wastebasket. They got out of in line and tried to jump their turn, and they chewed gum. I mean, that used to be the biggest problems. Now they're killing each other. And, folks, I'm telling you, it's directly as a result of the live evolution, what they're being put in their brain.
Amen. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone.
Starline Christian School, in operation since 1980 and state licensed, is a well-rounded educational opportunity for your children. Family-centered with Bible time, structured and social academic programs. Starline is located at 2418 19th Avenue in Greeley, Colorado. Close to Centennial Park, UNC, the hospital, Greeley Mall, and two blocks from Jackson Elementary. Transportation is also available to the following schools: University, Montfort, Meeker, Krista McCullough AM Kindergarten Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, and Frontier in Chapelo. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. for children 2.5 to 12 years old. Morning preschool, 8:30 to 12:30, including lunch, or 8:30 to 11:30 with no lunch. Full care child care before and after school programs. Call for more information, 970-353-7541. That's 970-353-7541.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you know, every time you watch the History Channel or the Discovery Channel, and what are they going to say? Well, this discovery took place millions of years ago. This discovery took place, what we found existed 2 billion years ago, hundreds of millions of years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, when did anybody ever said, well, you know, we only have about 6,000 years of recorded history, and we don't know when these bones were found, because we can't really identify them. I cannot tell you how old they are. No, it's always hundreds of millions, billions of years. They repeat this over and over and over again until you begin to believe it. And the purpose of the History Channel and the purpose of Discovery Channel and the purpose of television is to deceive you. And you will very seldom ever hear the truth. Why? Because they can convince you that the world has been around for billions of years, hundreds of millions of years, then the Bible is a lie. And if the Bible is a lie, and if Genesis is a lie, you can't believe anything else in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a conspiracy against God. That's why the Masonic judges on the Supreme Court took God and prayer and the Bible and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, because they want to destroy the faith of our children and teach them they may do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. That is what's being taught in our schools. And that was the message of Aleister Crowley. Pastor Crone, you pick up the story.
Well, that's very important, Dr. Monteith, because, again, these people who are behind this seemingly hopeless situation with the New World Order, they need to get rid of the Judeo-Christian ethic. They need to overturn some of the phraseology that our founding fathers used, that all men are created equal, we're endowed by these rights by our what? Cosmic accident? Giant blob in the sky? No, our creator. Okay, and that we're given these rights, and as our founding fathers rightly said, I believe it was Horace Greeley, he said that the Bible is the only, it's the book that is the foundation for human freedom. So if you get rid of that, and there is no God, then guess what? Somebody, whoever has the biggest, the most money, and or the most weapons, they have to be God, and that's exactly what's happening, folks. And it's a lie. It's a flat out lie. It is not scientific. It's a religion. Okay, and, but again, it comes with a horrible price. It's a hopeless message, but it's also harmful for our behavior. You tell kids in our school, from wee high, from preschool on, that they came from an ape. Folks, why are we shocked when they act like apes? We tell people day in, day out, all the way up to adults and then on, there is no meaning to life. So why are we so shocked when they act like it and they take each other's life? And they say there is no God, and people act so ungodly. Folks, it's what you believe determines how you behave, and so there's a horrible price to pay. And Dr. Monteith is fearful creations. It's a study, obviously, on dinosaurs in the Bible. And it's the final capstone that we've done on a six-year project in Pickin' and Poconan, dealing with this issue, that you can trust the Bible, that there is hope, people. It's just we're being lied to, and they're trying to, put a shovel over on the message of hope, okay, with this lie called evolution. We talked about the evidence of an intelligent creation, which we deal extensively on the evidence of intelligent design. If there is a God, you expect to see his handiwork. What we do, from the flea to the tree to the bee, to you and me, it's all over the place. We dealt with that issue, that lie of the millions and millions of years on young creation, and demonstrated how none of those dating methods, folks, carbon dating, radiometric dating, pick which one you want, they are not reliable at all. Some of them have a 500% error, and that's supposed to be science? How would you like to have a 500% error when you get to fill out your tax forms? And somehow they get to, and we're supposed to say, oh, this is reliable? Folks, it's baloney, and you need to understand why they push that. Is because the time issue, the millions and billions of years, is the Achilles heel of evolution. They have to have millions and billions of years to pull off their fairy tale, and that's exactly what it is. We even took a look at what's called a special creation. We looked at all the mechanisms of evolution, embryology, natural selection, and transitional forms, and all the things, how it's supposed to happen. And we looked at it, and we even quote them, folks. They admit it doesn't even work. Even if you ignore intelligent design, even if you give them the millions and billions of years, it doesn't even work. And then we dealt extensively with a judge creation, evidence for a worldwide flood. God judged this world once with water. The second time, the Bible says it's going to be by fire. And we see that evidence, folks, all over the world. And we've gone through all that, Dr. Monteith, but I couldn't wait to get to this one because invariably you can go through all that material. And because of the lie of evolution, because of the brainwashing that starts in preschool, okay, or even earlier, okay, in the media, is they invariably ask this question, oh, yeah, but what about the dinosaur? And you need to understand, folks, this is the Bible has answers for it. You don't need to shrink back. It's right there. And yes, believe it or not, it's scientific. You talk about a huge conspiracy. Boy, is this one being covered up. And you could see why if you understand why evolution doesn't want you to touch the message, the lie, that they have of dinosaurs. Because that's what they use to snooker you in before you even get to school. You get a kid's book, 3 years old, a little book on dinosaurs, and you name one kid on the planet who isn't interested in dinosaurs, even adults like dinosaurs. There's something about dinosaurs, okay? But you open that book up, and I guarantee you 99% of the time, what's the first line on that book? Millions of years ago. That's a lie right there. That called the very first page of the Bible a lie. You're at odds right there. Then the next big lie is this one. No one, millions of years ago, and then usually it follows up with something like this. No one has ever seen a dinosaur. Really? Do you know that? Or you just believe that? Okay, and they start from wee high all the way up, and they just keep it going. And folks, I'm telling you, the irony is the Bible actually mentions dinosaurs because they are real. Hello, we find them. The remains in the dirt, okay, they're real. Okay, but God created them along with their other animals on the earth, okay? The Bible talks about, if you just read it, see, this is what they don't want you to do. They want you to be like I used to be, the hypocrite. You know, I'd be the first one to look at Christians. Oh, you're a bunch of hypocrites, sir. I wouldn't want to go there. You're a bunch of hypocrites, sir. Really? Okay. And then I say, well, the Bible, you can't trust that. Don't you know that man just whipped that thing up? hey, we did another study on 10 lines of logical evidence why you know the Bible is unlike any other book on the planet. It had to come from God. It is totally unique, okay? He leaves his signature on that. He is so merciful to us. Okay, we don't even need to doubt that. But again, they'll go into the issue, they'll teach you to scoff. And because if you scoff and say, a bunch of hypocrites, that's just a book whooped up a man, guess what? You won't pick it up. And if you don't pick it up, guess what? You're still under the lie of what they want you to believe. They don't want you to discover the greatest message of hope of all. Okay? And so I really wanted to get to this one on dinosaurs because that always seems to come up. Oh, yeah, but what about the dinosaurs? And we've already talked about Dr. Monteith. The Bible mentions dinosaurs, not once, not twice, but possibly four different times. Behemoth, Leviathan, wild ox, flying serpent. When you take a look at there, you clearly see in the context you're dealing with dinosaur-like creatures. It's very obvious. Yes, they're in the Bible. Okay? Now, you don't find the word dinosaur in the Bible because the word dinosaur is a relatively new word. The Bible was already long established before that. The word dinosaur didn't happen until 1841, I believe, with Sir Richard Owens, okay? But the Bible does talk about dinosaurs. And then we saw, what happened to them? Well, the Bible's very clear. It was a worldwide flood that took out the dinosaurs. And the Bible even gives the picture that man and dinosaurs really did live together, like with the other land animals. Now, you're thinking, wait a second, you're just whacked out. Well, folks, if you listen to the other interviews, we've got the proof. This is what they're trying to hide from us, folks. We share the actual proof with human remains mixed together, yes, folks, with dinosaur remains. How do you explain that one? We explain human tracks crisscrossing dinosaur tracks. In fact, we've got human tracks stepping in the dinosaur track. How do you explain that one, folks? And these are not hoax. We dealt with the actual archaeological evidence. You could see it with your own eyes, folks, the actual video interviews, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? But then you're going to, wait a second. How do we know that there really was a worldwide flood? Well, we dealt with that issue before, and we saw that this also explains the sudden disappearance of the dinosaurs. We would agree in this one aspect of evolution, the dinosaurs did suddenly, most of them anyway, the bulk of them did die out suddenly. Well, what caused it? Well, it wasn't an asteroid. It wasn't because they turned into chickens, okay, as some evolutionists are trying to grasp at straws there. It was a worldwide flood, okay, and we saw the evidence of that. In fact, we know that it was a recent worldwide flood about 4,400 years ago, according to the Bible timeline, that the dinosaurs were wiped out, is because we find fresh dinosaur remains. We find fresh dinosaur bodies, folks. We find fresh dinosaur tissue. They even have found fresh dinosaur blood cells. Give me a break. It's so fresh, folks, we even share with you the actual video, that they're pulling on the meat, the tissue of the dinosaur, and it's springing back. Give me a break. How do you explain that if that supposedly died 70 million years ago? The only way you can explain that is if you go, you know what? I think the Bible's right. It was there the whole time. They taught me to be a good scoffer, not a person who was honestly, intellectually looking for the truth. And I never opened up the Bible. The Bible says right there, it was a recent worldwide flood. That's why you find recent remains. And then so you're thinking, well, wait a second. If God really created the dinosaurs, and they really did live with man, and most of them were wiped out by this recent worldwide flood, wait a second then. If I'm going to continue to read the Genesis account in the Bible there, then it talks about this guy named Noah. And Noah and his whole family, eight people altogether, survived this worldwide flood. Well, again, if you don't think there was a worldwide flood, boy, is that another big lie. We deal with that on the 11-DVD set called The Judge Creation. Man, it's just, man, talk about why. But anyway, so you're saying, well, okay, even if there was a Noah guy, but you mean to tell me that he took all the animals on the ark, and you're telling me that God created all the land animals, which includes the dinosaurs, so logically that means Noah took dinosaurs on the ark? Oh, come on, man, you've gone too far. Well, folks, that's exactly what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, okay, and tells that God created, he allowed for a worldwide flood to come, not just from above, but from below, okay, it came from two sources there. And the reason why is because of the wickedness of the earth. God is not going to let this wickedness go on. Folks, you think, I agree with you, there are hopeless things, there's atrocities, but are you kidding me? Here's the great news, here's the hope. God is not going to let this go on forever. And you go, well, why does he let it go on at all? Because he's merciful. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but everyone come to repentance. He has given us time to respond to his love and to become his child and be forgiven for what all of us have done. We've all fallen short of his glory, okay, and he's willing to forgive us, okay? That's a message of hope. But guess what? It's not going to go on forever. He has called it, there's a certain time, it's a bang, okay, it's done, and then that starts a seven-year tribulation, and you don't want to be here for that. But the Bible says that God is the one who sent the flood, and that he told Noah that he is going to put all these animals, land animals, okay, on the ark. It says you're to bring in the ark, Genesis 6, two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground will become to you to be kept alive. You're to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything as God commanded him. And so the Bible clearly says that Noah took with him two of every kind, not species, we'll get to that in a little bit, two of every kind of animal, okay, not only that, but two of every kind of air and land breathing animal with him on the ark, which presupposes that would include the what? The dinosaurs. They're land animals too, right? And so that's your answer, folks. It's right there in black and white. The Bible says Noah did take two of every kind of land animal, including the dinosaurs, with him on the ark. It's right there in the Bible if you don't scoff and you just take it at face value, okay? But then you're thinking, wait a second, okay, because that does bring up a couple questions. And they're great questions. I mean, they're great, honest questions. And so we answer them for you with the evidence, folks, that they're suppressing on us. And you're saying, wait a second, dinosaurs on the ark? Give me a break, man. What about their size? I mean, those things are huge. Last time I checked, dinosaurs are massive. Forget the giraffes. Forget the elephants that you see depicted. How in the world did Noah get the Brachiosaurus on board? How did he get a Tyrannosaurus Rex? Two of them, male and female, on board. Well, as one guy pointed out, stop and think about it. Use some common sense here. He said the big ones were big, but the little ones were little. Hey, that's pretty profound, isn't it? Okay? And you see, here's the problem, folks. Here's one of the biggest misconceptions we have about dinosaurs. And that is that all dinosaurs were these big, huge, massive, giant beasts, like the Brachiosaurus or like the Tyrannosaurus. And what we've already seen, Dr. Monteith, they're not. The average size of the dinosaur is that of a sheep. Straight across the board with dinosaurs, the average size of a dinosaur is that of a sheep, okay? And some were even smaller, we talked about before, about the size of a chicken or a cat. One example we gave was what was called the saltipus, okay? And you think, you know, and the reason why, I think partly because we don't see that, is because, you know, if you had a bunch of little dinosaurs the size of a chicken or a cat, you know, it doesn't make for good ticket sales when you're going to a museum. Of course, everybody wants to see the big ones, the big giant ones, okay? But the reality is, folks, the average size was that of a sheep, okay? So that seriously reduces their size to be on the ark. But you're thinking, well, wait a second. He still had to take the Tyrannosaurus and the Brachiosaurus, among other ones, some of the big ones, he still had to take them on board, right? Well, you're absolutely right, okay? But Noah's a smart guy, I'm sure, and he probably figured out you don't take the big, giant adult ones on board. No, 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 you take the tiny little baby ones on board. You don't need the full-grown ones. You take the baby ones, okay? That seriously reduces their size. Plus, think about it. That's very smart thinking of Noah. That's very efficient for their purpose of why you're bringing them on the ark in the first place, okay? First of all, babies sleep more, okay, right? They eat less than adults. Obviously, they're smaller. They take up less space. And here's the point. They live longer to produce more offspring, which is why you're bringing them on board the ark in the first place. Hello? Okay? And so bringing babies on board instead of adults makes a whole lot more sense, okay? And then you think, well, wait a second. I still got another problem. The Bible says that Noah was on that ark for over a year. And so don't you think the babies got kind of big over a year size and they still turned out big? Well, actually, no.
Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crow.
Clean Dirt Grains and Seeds would like to say that many area parents feel frightened or somewhat intimidated to talk openly with their children about drug abuse. Parents, remember that open communication with your children along with love and understanding can, in fact, be the most effective weapon in the war against drugs in our community. You are the most important person in your child's life. Teach them to say no to drugs. That important message proudly brought to you by Clean Dirt Grains and Seeds in Sterling. They are another local, concerned, and involved business working towards a better community for all. That's Clean Dirt Grains and Seeds. On the air because they care.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stock, certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin. vice president for the Patriot Trading Group. And as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
For the finest in home security, you want Fine Line Security, a family-owned business. They install, service, and repair any CCTV system, including DVRs. Free estimates are available. Free security evaluations, including the existing systems, emergency repairs, and loaner equipment. Call Scott at 303-550-8202. They also have lease options available for CCTV security. Always professional, neat, and excellent workmanship. Home automation wireless solution for doors and driveways also available. 303-550-8202. Fine Line Security.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor Billy Crone. And Pastor Billy, before we go on, would you like to get your website out there?
Sure. You can reach us at our main website at getalifemedia.com. That's GetalifeMedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Or you could just search for my name on the Internet, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N as in Nancy, E, Billy Crone. Search for that on the Internet, and that'll take you where you need to go.
All right. You go ahead with the rest of your story.
Well, again, people say, well, okay, gee whiz, even if Noah brought the small ones of the larger-sized dinosaurs on board, he's still got a problem. The Bible says that the flood didn't last 40 days and 40 nights. Read the Bible, folks. It was over a year. So those babies are going to be in there, those baby giant, tyrannosaurus, or brachiosaurus, they're going to be male and the female. They're going to be in there for over a year. Aren't they going to be too big then? No. Actually, what's very interesting, Dr. Monteith, it's very interesting that science is catching up to what the Bible's been saying all along. What a surprise. And what's interesting, there's been some recent work done and published in secular science journals about dinosaur growth rates. And this is fascinating. And when you look at the time scale from these secular calculations, you can see that even at the 4 years of age, okay, dinosaurs did not hit their major growth spurt, okay? And so Noah, if he's taken on board a couple of the large dinosaurs as juveniles or small babies, they were still small. After 1 year, they would still be very small, okay? So they didn't, you know, get too big and sink the ark and blah, 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 okay? They didn't hit their growth spurt yet until after they got off the ark, okay? And it's very interesting, if you just read the Bible and you're honest with the science and the facts that you discover in archaeology, hey, it's almost like it's accurate. What a concept, okay? But then you're going to, wait a second, okay, right, fine. Okay, so maybe their size wasn't an issue, but I still got a problem with the space. You mean to tell me that all those animals able to fit on that one boat? Yeah, and it's called just read the Bible, grab a calculator if you're not good at math, and it makes a whole lot of sense. And again, this is what people don't do. Just see what the Bible says and then calculate it out. Put it to the test, okay? The Bible says clearly that the ark had plenty enough of room, okay? And the reason why is because the Bible says that Noah, listen, folks, he did not have to bring two of every single living thing that was on the planet. It didn't say that. It said he had to bring two of every kind of land animals, not the water ones, okay, which would seriously reduce the amount of space needed on that boat, okay? Ernst Mayr, he's America's leading taxonomist for, you know, classifying the species. He says this. He says the vast majority of species in the world are fully capable of surviving in the water and thus do not need to be brought on the ark. For instance, Okay, Noah did not need to make provision for the 21,000 species of fish, or the 1,700 tunicates, or the 600 echinoderms, including the starfish and the sea urchins. He didn't have to make room for 107,000 mollusks, such as the mussels and clams and oysters, the 10,000 cylindrants like the corals, the sea anemones, the jellyfish, the 5,000 different species of sponges, the 30,000 different protozoans. He said, furthermore, some of the mammals are aquatic, like whales and seals and dolphins. They don't need to go along. He said, there's the amphibians. They don't need to be included, nor do the reptiles, such as sea turtles or alligators. They could survive outside. In fact, a large number of the arthropods, numbering 838,000 species, such as the lobster, shrimp, crabs, water fleas, barnacles, are also marine creatures. They don't need to come along. And finally, there's the multitude of insects, including the 35,000 species alone of worms, all of which could have easily survived outside the ark floating on pieces of debris. Okay, he didn't need to bring those, so that would seriously reduce the amount of space needed. Okay, but that's not all. God put in a second limiting factor. And that's that word I keep talking about, kind. Noah did not need to bring two of every species, but only two of every kind. Let me give you an example. Noah did not have to bring the 200 to 300 different species of dogs that we have on the planet today. He just needed to bring two of the dog kind, a male and a female. That's it. So obviously that would seriously reduce the number, okay? And the people say, wait a second, you mean to tell me that all the dogs in the world came from two dogs in Noah's Ark? Yeah, I do. I don't have a problem with that. Think about it logically. Two dogs over the past 4,500 years producing all the different species of dogs that we have today, that makes perfect sense. And one litter, just one litter, can produce all different kinds of sizes and shapes. And you got runts, you got big ones, different colors and sizes, etc. And then you do that over 4,500 years. I don't have a problem with that, right? Rather, if you stop and think about what the live evolution is teaching, folks, they got a big problem. Because they teach that all the dogs in the world, including all of life, came from a rock. That's exactly what they believe, folks. You ask them, where did life come from? Well, it came from a simple cell, which is a lie. The supposed simplest cell, the paramecium, is more complex than the space shuttle. But I'll give you that to play with. Okay? A simple cell. Well, where did the simple cell come from? Which there is no simple cell, but let's play the game. Well, it came from the prebiotic soup. Really? So where'd the soup come from? Well, it rained on the rocks for millions of years and created. Oh, so you do believe that all the dogs and all of life came from a rock. Oh, and I'm the goofball because I believe all the dogs came from two dogs on Noah's Ark. Okay, who's got more faith here? Okay, but that's not all. You're thinking, well, that's still, you know, quite a few, if you just bring kinds, there's a whole bunch of dinosaurs on the planet. Well, again, interesting enough, folks, when you do the research, you'll see that, yes, there's a lot of dinosaur species, but when you do the research, you'll find that there's only about 50 different dinosaur kinds. One guy says when it comes to how many kinds Noah had to take on board the ark as far as dinosaurs, he says there are many species. He says it seems every week, it seems, they're discovering a new dinosaur species. He says, but again, just like with the dogs, that's not the same as kind. He said when we look at how scientists allocate species names to dinosaurs on the basis of fossils that they found, you got to look very hard to see any differences there. They're the same kind. Okay, he says, for instance, the Apatosaurus and the Diplodocus. They may be different species, but if you step back and you look at them, they're clearly the same dinosaur kind. He says, and when we apply that standard to all the different dinosaur species, it seems to be, scientifically, there's only about 50 different dinosaur kinds, okay? So again, that would seriously reduce it. And you might think, well, okay, fine. So just having to only bring two of every kind, not species, and then only two of every kind of air-breathing land animal, not the water ones, okay, that would seriously reduce the amount of space that you need on this boat. But come on, man. I mean, that's still a whole bunch of animals to squish on that boat. Get real. And you know what? You're right. That's a great – you should be asking that question, you know, and that's awesome, okay? That's still a lot of animals to squish in that boat. And so that's where the rubber meets the road. That's the question. Could Noah's Ark, with its dimensions, have contained enough space to hold two of every kind of air-breathing land animal, including the dinosaurs, the 50 different kinds? Yeah. In fact, what you're going to see, folks, if you just read the Bible and do the math or get a calculator, okay, and let it do it for you, there was room to spare. Let me read to you. Let me prove it to you, folks. Do the math yourself. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14 through 16 says this. So he's telling Noah about the ark, okay? And it's not by chance God gives you the dimensions. He's being merciful to us. It's almost like he knew we'd scoff at it these thousands of years later. So make for yourself, he says, an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it. And coat it with pitch inside and out, so making it waterproof. And this is how you're to build the thing. The arc is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, and make a roof for it, and finish the arc within 18 inches to the top, and put a door in the side of the arc, and make lower, middle, and upper decks, okay? And so the Bible clearly gives us the exact dimensions for building the arc, okay? It's a triple-decker, right? That's what it said there, lower, middle, upper decks, made out of a certain kind of wood that's it's waterproof, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, right? Okay, and so that's the question, folks. Is this enough space, according to these dimensions, if we're going to take the Bible at face value, to hold two of every kind of air-breathing land animal, not species, kinds, on the planet, including the 50 different kinds of dinosaurs? Yes. In fact, there is room to spare.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone here at the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Colorado Right to Life annual banquet will take place on Saturday, October 2nd at the Renaissance Hotel, located at 38th and Quebec in Denver, Colorado. Reception begins at 6 o'clock and dinner is at 7 o'clock p.m. Tickets are $75. Support the Colorado 2010 Personhood Amendment. For more information, call Colorado Right to Life at 303-753-9394.
Back to school time means our young people will be meeting new friends. Some of those friends may try to influence your kids to try drugs or alcohol. Let's remind young people that following the crowd can lead to trouble. And parents, let's not assume it always happens to some other family. Have a family discussion today. That's from the Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and her staff are always working to make our area a safer place for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service committed to education and conservation, call today. 303-758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. And mention you heard this community announcement.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here for our final segment. Pastor Crone, pick up the story.
Well, let's put the proof to the pudding. You mean to tell me that all these animals were squished into that boat, granted wouldn't need as much size and space once you start looking at the biblical count, but that's still a lot of animals squished in the boat, including the 50 different kinds of dinosaurs. Yeah, it is, folks, if you do the math. And we just shared it's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. The ark with its triple-decker, we read the biblical account there, Genesis chapter 6. And so the question is that enough space, according to these dimensions, to hold two of every kind of air-breathing land animal, including the 50 different kinds of dinosaurs? Yes. Here's what the facts are that they don't want you to know. First of all, folks, if you read the biblical account, the ark was not a ship, as often is depicted, unfortunately. It was with sloping sides. It was a large barge. It was meant to carry stuff, just like we see the big giant oil tankers, okay? And so it had a larger carrying capacity, okay? It was maximized for a purpose. And so if you do the math, based on the dimensions given to us in the Bible, here's what you get. Check it out yourself. The ark would have had over 100,000 square feet of just floor space, would have had a total cubic volume of 1,518,000 cubic feet, listen, which is equivalent to about 569 modern railroad stock cars. 569 of those critters, okay? Therefore, folks, researchers agree that there was a plenty of room on the ark to hold two of every kind of air-breathing land animal, including the dinosaurs, with room to spare. And that's because researchers have discovered that on the high side, no more than 35,000 individual animals needed to go on the ark because, again, the average size of an animal is the size of a sheep, including the dinosaurs. And we already saw that even the few larger ones, dinosaurs or land animals, like the brachiosaurus or even like an elephant or a giraffe, you don't need to bring the giant-sized older ones. You bring the smaller baby ones, right? Okay, but even so, Listen, researchers decided to pad this number anyway to be generous, folks. And so they padded it by 15,000. You only need about 35,000 individual animals, okay, to take along. But they decided to pad it, and they bumped it up to 50,000 animals just to make sure. And here's what they found out. Do the math. Using the railroad cars for comparison, remember it had an equivalent to 569 modern railroad stock cars, they noted that the average double-deck stock car can accommodate about 240 sheep, the average size of the animals, right? So if you do the math, that means that all the 50,000 animals, which is 15,000 more than what you need, but just to pad the number, 50,000 animals, all of them, can be carried on only 208 of the 569 railroad cars, which is only 37% of the ARC, which would leave an additional 361 cars just to carry all the food and the baggage. Folks, you do the math, read the Bible, and it makes perfect sense. There was plenty of room for all the animals of the kinds, not species, kinds, including the dinosaurs. But then, speaking of food and baggage, you're going, well, wait a second. They're on that ark for a year, so that's going to take a lot of food and water. Is there enough room for that, too? Well, again, do the math. Once again, the Bible tells us a very critical piece, and when it comes to storing food, the Bible says that all the animals, okay, prior to the flood, after the flood it changed, but prior to the flood and while they were floating in the ark, all animals and people were vegetarians, okay? Therefore, based on the vegetarian issue, the ark did not, when it came to food supply, it did not need to carry tons and tons and tons of bulky pounds of meat and food, okay? Rather, okay, with this issue, it was only dry, small dried foodstuffs, concentrated foods, things of that nature, okay? So if you use this vegetarian issue as a guide, and we're not making it up, that's what the Bible says. Researchers, listen to this, have calculated that the total volume of foodstuffs on the ark would have only been about 15% of the ark's total volume, and the drinking water, okay, would have only taken up another 9.4%, which is still plenty enough room, by the way, with room to spare on the ark, okay? And that's what they're trying to do, folks. They're trying to train you to scoff at the Bible so that you won't ever pick it up and find out just how much you've been lied to. I remember Dr. Monteith, before God had mercy on me and saved me, I was one of the biggest skeptics. I disagreed with Christianity. I hated Christianity. I hated Christians. And here was my big rub. I would say that, you know what, you guys are so dumb. So intellectually inept that you have to have some book tell you what to do. I'm much smarter than that. And, of course, I was talking about the Bible. And then I would do this thing that we say oftentimes you hear in the media about Christians, and I thought it was my own incredible thought. I was just parroting what the media was telling me to say about Christianity without discovering it myself. I was the real hypocrite. But we'd say this, oh, you guys are being brainwashed. You're being brainwashed by that book. I can't believe it. You guys are being brainwashed. Really? Well, folks, once you realize what's really going on in the world, and how the brainwashing of evolution is teaching you to scoff at the Bible, you'll find the irony is this. You're listening to a person, folks, who was been there, done that. I was on the other side. I would be the first one to say that the Bible is a book that brainwashes people. But what you find out, folks, the Bible is the only book on the planet that can unbrainwash you from the lies of this wicked world system. Okay? It's the only one, and that's why they don't want you in there, because you're going to find out, folks, how much you're being lied to. They don't want you to discover the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free, okay, but they don't want you to, because they are leading us into a time of slavery this planet has never seen, and it is hopeless. It would be hopeless if there is no hope, but there is hope. The Bible tells us that there is hope, okay? But you might be thinking, well, wait a second, you mean to tell me, it sort of makes a lot of sense there that dinosaurs were not just killed in the flood, but some of them got to survive because the Bible says that Noah had to take two of every kind of land animal in the ark. And I'm going to be an honest seeker of the truth. I'm going to go home and look the Bible up myself and do the math and check this out. But it appears that there was plenty enough room on there. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. But wait a second. You're presupposing here with this fact. If dinosaurs were able to, with the rest of the animals, the land animals, the kinds there, get on the ark, then the question I got is, well, where'd they go? I mean, we still see animals that survived on the ark. I don't see a whole bunch of dinosaurs lurking around today. I mean, how do you explain that one? Well, again, folks, it's pretty simple if you just read the Bible. The dinosaurs really did get off the ark, okay, the ones just like with the other kinds of animals. But the problem is the world had totally changed from the one which they came, and not all of them could survive all the drastic effects that the flood. Remember what the flood was, folks. It totally radically not only disrupted the Earth's topography, it totally rearranged the Earth's atmosphere. And so you have a, when they got out that ark, folks, it was like stepping on a different planet. And it was a different planet. And they all couldn't survive. And you had a change of climate that was going on that they couldn't survive. There was a change of stability. Now you got earthquakes, you got volcanoes, you got all kinds of things they didn't have to deal with before. You got a change of food supply. They all couldn't survive that. The lush, incredible forest that they used to feed on and things, that wasn't there anymore. Okay, it was all brand new. And then, of course, you had the big change of relationship. You had mankind. Very interesting key verse in Genesis 9.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling. Or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoy our conversation with Pastor Billy Crone. We have his 10, or I should say 8 DVD series on the fearful creation, and really is excellent. We've watched it, and he has a lot of video clips there that really help to tell you, explain to you exactly what's going on, and you'll find it fascinating. And it is certainly, you'll be totally convinced that certainly dinosaurs lived with mankind, and they still, a few dinosaurs exist in the world today, and they've even found some massive ones in the ocean. He has pictures of them. You'll be amazed by Fearful Creation. It's 2 parts, part 1, part 2, and they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. It's cheaper to get both of them together, but you can get them separately. 1-800-544-8927. Now we have his excellent series on the Final Countdown. That's 10 DVDs in 2 parts, 1 part 1, part 2. And that gives you the background of all the prophetic things that are happening today. I mean, how do you understand what's really going on, the move to the New World Order? All of these things prophesied thousands of years ago. And for that, and there is a book you get with that if you want to, and it has all the material. You can watch it, then you can have it there to read and study, so you can discuss this intelligently. It's called Final Countdown, the DVDs or the book, or get them both together. But you need to be able to explain to others what's really taking place today. there is an effort to destroy America. It's well underway. We're heading into very difficult times. The America we've known in the past will never return again, simply because there is an organized effort to destroy this nation. The enemy is not in a cave in Pakistan someplace, cowering over his dialysis machine. Osama bin Laden's been dead for years. They know that. But they keep bringing him back because we need an enemy to rally the people behind the government that is actually, there is an invisible government that has created this terrible recession. They've done it intentionally. You need to hear my talk on the financial Armageddon. You need to get our pamphlets, or you can read them up, read my newsletters on the internet on the financial chaos, how they created this whole incredible scenario. And the reason we're having it is because the banks aren't lending money, and that they're doing it intentionally. There are a number of small, large banks, there are about six of them, and they control most of the money in this country, and they are not lending it. Oh, they're investing it. They're putting it in hedge funds. They're investing it in the stock market, but they're not lending it. Why? Because they want to contract our economy. They're all in because they tie into the Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you want the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness, we have that in a separate syllabus, and you'll find Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, all part of the Trilateral Commission, and Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo. They're part of the CFR complex. And the CFR is a front for a secret society, and nobody's going to tell you that. But you can read about it in Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History.